WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program here on Monday morning. And can you believe we're in mid-June already? Can you believe that we are at the end of spring already? Well, I think some people can believe that because spring is a fast season here in New England. But we are down to the final week of spring. It'll be summer in a week. And I guess it felt like it at times, but I don't know. I think we've had a pretty spring-like spring. We had a few heat wave, a few hot days, but we had mostly damp days and these rainy weekends. So it was nice to have a weekend that was a little bit different, although we still got the rain. And we'll be thankful for that. At the end of the summer, if we don't end up having a drought, right? So did you get out and attend any of the No Kings protests over the weekend? Whether it be the one in New Bedford at Hazelwood Park, whether it be the one in Fairhaven. So New Bedford Light had a report where they said it was, a couple of hundred people that were in New Bedford, but then about 1,000 people that were in Fairhaven. And that doesn't surprise me for a couple of reasons. One, I think there's more places to park in Fairhaven. So if somebody was like, oh, I'm going to go take part in this, they probably said, well, I'll go to Fairhaven because you can park in the high school parking lot. There's other places to park around there that's a short walk. So I think that might have been a more attractive option. Plus, you're on a main road and you're going to have more interaction with people as opposed to Hazelwood Park where how much traffic are you getting down there on a Saturday morning or a Saturday afternoon? Maybe if it was a better day weather-wise, there would have been more people, but I can kind of see why, you know, that one was more sparsely attended. But there were also ones that were not planned that kind of just popped up. I know that they had one in Wareham. I know because I saw some of my former teachers posting about it. So they, you know, even if they didn't have organized ones, there were still people that said, let's gather together here, you know, rather than go all the way to wherever else, because again, weather probably played a part. But it seemed like it was a day where everybody had their say and not too many problems were caused. And there were reports that, you know, some people did try to stir up emotions at these and the organizers wisely told people, hey, if that happens, just ignore it. Don't engage. Just ignore it. You're here to have your say. They can have their say too, but you don't have to engage with them. You're not required to answer back. And I think that worked out pretty well. So, but as I said, you know, I said this last week that it was going to be, you know, mostly older folks that took part in this because that seems to be who was in some of the previous ones. But from some of the photos I saw from New Bedford Light and some of the ones online, it looked like there was a good amount of younger people that showed up and took part. And I think part of that is because of the way that the ICE operations have impacted the South Coast and New Bedford in particular. I think that's drawn out some of the younger folks. So it was a successful day is what they were calling it. based on the numbers and the turnout that they got, but I think it's not the last. I think there'll be others planned. And certainly over the next, 3.5 years, you could see more of this. And if that means you get more people involved in politics, one way or the other, whether it be people who are in support of what these rallies are for, or people who are motivated to say, no, that's not representative of me and my values. You get more people that are involved, especially at the local level, where they can make a real impact, whether it be organizing things locally, whether it be helping people with campaigns, or perhaps even running themselves. And if it gets people to pay more attention, that's a good thing, because, yeah, we want more voters, but we also want educated and informed voters, right? We want people who vote because they understand and have a stance on the issues and the policies. We don't want people voting just because somebody's popular. And I think that is something that, is lost on a lot of voters. They vote for what they think a person is all about, or what they think a person stands for, as opposed to what they actually do. And that goes all the way down to a local level. So the more people can be engaged and informed, the better off we are. Because you've got to think, when this government was founded, when the Constitution was written and the basis of the government formed, the men, because that's who could vote at that time, were very engaged in the politics of the time because they didn't have a whole lot of other things going on, right? They weren't distracted by a million other things. So they were very invested and very informed and very knowledgeable. And so, I think the more we can get people on that level, no matter, how they come down in their belief system, the stronger we are as a nation. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, how was your weekend?
Oh, good. You sound far away, but...
My phone.
There you are.
When I hit it against the wall, it works better, but I don't feel like throwing it right now.
Well, wait till the call's over. Maybe you might change your mind.
Well, nah. I watched a lot of those protests. I watch the ones from all over the United States. And I knew there was a lot of sick Democrats, but I never thought there was that many mentally ill people that would go against our great president. But that I know you must have got you were butthurt by that guy, and I understand it because he killed two people in Minnesota, and I'm very outraged by that. He's going to pay probably with his life if wherever he is, if they have the death penalty, I don't know. But then you said it was because he was against the abortion.
Yeah, that seems to be what they think might have been his motivation at this point. I mean, obviously, he'll have to answer for this in court, but they're basing this on some of his writings and in talking with some of his friends and neighbors. That seems to be the issue that really. And he was speaking at, he would go to different countries and speak at their churches, and that was a common topic for him.
Well. Killing babies is something I don't go for, but I'm not going to go out and kill anybody. He's going to pay for that, and I say he should pay for it. And I have to say the death penalty, even though I don't believe in killing, thou shalt not kill. But if you're going to take another life, I don't go for that. So kill him, and that's all there is to it, because he's going to probably go around and do it again if he ever gets out. But I mean, killing babies, Mr. Weisberg, you can't be doing that stuff. They're doing it all the time, like it's nothing. Now, these doctors that are performing these abortions, they're the ones that ought to go straight to jail. And the mothers who are killing their babies too. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't like that at all. But Nobody got hurt in the recent protest that we've had here for Haven. Is that the...
No, not here locally, no.
No.
Not that I'm aware of, but it doesn't look like it.
Videos that Carlos picked up. Boy, well, he's so good with that. I think he was really born to do this kind of a thing. He's right there on the spot. He don't miss anything, you know? I would have minded doing that, too, if I was young, chasing things all around in the car with a cat. I had a friend that did that. He's gone now. Everybody knows him in the desert. All the firemen knew him. He was friends with the firemen, the cops. Steve used to call the show a lot. Almost all the shows. There's not much to say, but if your butt hurt about, you know, if he doesn't want babies to die.
Well, I'm not butthurt about it.
I know you're not going to change your mind about that.
Well, I don't care what you think. I agree with you. I don't care what you think about anything politically. You don't go murdering somebody over it.
You could just go to the meetings that they have about it. And, you know, they have concerns over there with the meetings and stuff like that. They go kill people, take lives away from somebody. We're not the ones that put them here, so we shouldn't be going to kill anybody. But he has to have a screw loose, too. There has to be something wrong. He can't control himself.
Well, it seems like from what his friends were saying, it seems like he had been going through some things.
Terrible.
But yeah, then there were others who said that he seemed perfectly normal and that he didn't seem like the type that would do this at all. So,
a lot of mentally ill people can act very nicely until something hits the brain a certain way. Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before I hang up, that man with the birthday that doesn't know if he's going to celebrate the next one. Well, thank God I don't have cancer. I may get it someday. I don't know, but I still feel that way myself. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be here for another summer. I better lose the rest of my weight before this summer's totally gone, or I'm not going to have no summer the next. I mean, I went wear shorts because my legs are so fat. They look like tree trunks with shorts. So once before I die, I think I would like to be able to go to a store, say, oh, I like that. And I'm just going to, can't do that. I mean, I'm a lot smaller than what I was.
I think you'll get there.
So, yeah.
You're dedicated to it.
Trying hard. But thank you. I'm glad you had a good weekend. Get on the train. Did you happen to see the video of the guy with the big collection?
I did not.
What's that?
I did not, no.
Oh, it's a good one. I already took the page. He must have had every train the other.
I think we're losing you, Mary. Your phone is pretty much gone.
All right. Have a great week.
All right. You as well.
Bye.
And yes, you definitely got some issues there with the phone. Let's take another call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
How you doing? Hold on. Let me turn you down a little bit there. There we go.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's because I turned it up for Mary, so.
Yeah, I gotcha. There's you're listening to the news this morning. There's things missing out of the news reports, and it's very interesting when you start reading headlines from different media outlets and how they choose to word the different headlines to lead people into reading their content. Like this gentleman, or I won't even say gentleman, this murderer up in Minnesota, from my understanding, he was appointed by Tim Walz back in 2019. So I don't know if he's still working for Tim Walz.
So what you're doing is actually misrepresenting the actual facts of what's out there.
Oh, okay. So that wasn't in an article that I...
Well, that's not accurate as to what happened. So he was appointed to a bipartisan board of 60 people.
Okay.
He's never met Tim Walz. He's never met most of the people that are on that board. But he's part of this bipartisan board. He was originally picked by the previous governor for something. And so that's... I think that's probably why he was, you know, appointed to this, and then he was reappointed again. So this was not a matter of somebody that worked for Tim Walz. This was somebody who was just appointed to a volunteer board that was designed to have a bipartisan makeup. And so it seems like he might have been the Republican, because he was a registered Republican. It seems like he might have been one of the Republican people on this bipartisan board.
Interesting. Okay, because I my understanding, what I've also read is that that the motivation behind these murders leaned towards these voters, or these people that he killed were not far left enough for his liking. So on the abortion and the illegal immigration benefits.
Yeah, but then he also had on his list of people he was going to also kill, Tim Walz, Ilhan Omar. Like, these are people who were much far lefter than the people that he killed. So this might have just been, you know, names on his list that were, you know, the most accessible, maybe. Maybe he felt like they were the ones that were the most approachable. There's also, the speaker was also somebody who served on that board with this guy, and they're not sure if they knew each other either. So he might have actually known this person, and that might have been something that would have led to this motivation.
Okay, so there's more to it. All right, I'll keep looking into it.
Well, as you know, though, the first couple of days when something like this happens, like, everybody's trying to fill in the gaps, and sometimes the information gets out there that turns out not to be right, or, you know, it turns out that it was actually a little bit different than what they thought that it was originally. So it always takes a couple of days for stuff to shake out. But at least in this case, you know, he's actually alive to answer these questions.
Right. So it's kind of like Trump getting blamed for the actions of people that are around him that he may or may not have had anything to do with. So the rally this weekend, the parade in Washington, D.C. I'm also reading this morning that, you know, the headlines are, oh yeah, it was a dismal show. Nobody came for it. But then I'm also reading that, and I recall this Trump saying it from the parade itself, that thousands of people from all over the world are reported to be in attendance. Now, I'm also hearing or also reading in other articles that that anti-Trump people went in like Ticketmaster sort of thing and bought up hundreds and hundreds of tickets just to
free tickets? They signed up for them. They weren't, I don't think
right,
they were.
Yeah, signing up to show that you are planning on being in attendance. So that may be where the numbers got inflated. Who knows? But I do know that I don't plan on showing up. I just plan on buying 1,000 tickets.
Or it could have also been people saw that it was raining and said, you know what, I'll just stay in and watch it on TV too.
Right, yeah, like the Super Bowl. Why bother paying $20,000 for a seat? They just, you know, so same sort of thing. That's where I'm leaning on that people just wanted to stay home. And I thought it was very cool. I thought it was a very cool parade, and I'm actually proud of Trump for his final speech, for his closing speech, because he didn't rant on and on. He didn't wander. He was straight and to the point, and got out what needed to get out, and that was it. I don't know if you watched it and if you had the same feeling.
I did not. I saw clips later, but I was out when it was on.
Oh, do me a favor and watch his entire closing speech. Because he does it, you know how you, and it pisses you off, I know it, that he kind of rambles on.
But it doesn't piss me off. I just think that it's, you know, for the same thing that people were crapping on Biden for, I think Trump does the exact same thing.
I don't know. But it's an old man thing. I think he's allowed to have that as long as he stays kind of within his lane. But, yeah, listen to his final closing speech, because it meant a lot. And I think the important takeaway from this is it's celebrating the 250th. Anniversary of our army, and you could see the look on the tankers' faces when they're cruising down the road. You know, they were elated to be there. They were just, you know, waving at the crowd and everything. They were living it up. So good for them, because you don't get to see those sorts of things happen in this country anymore. And for 250 years, that's a big milestone.
All right, I got to hold you there because I got to get a break in before the news.
All right. You have a good day.
You as well. And we can talk more about that, but I've got to get this break in, and then we'll have the news, and then the Gen X Files, and then more of your calls.
More measles cases in the U.S. CDC workers back on the job, and a new report about the Dirty Dozen.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Senator Elizabeth Warren calling for DHS Secretary Kristi Noem's resignation after a fellow senator was forcibly removed from one of her press conferences in Los Angeles last week. Video showed California Democratic Senator Alex Padilla being handcuffed and taken to the ground during Noem's press conference. Warren said it's time for Kristi Noem to resign. Warren also posted on Facebook that, quote, every day that goes by, Donald Trump is making our nation look more and more like a fascist state. The annual Dirty Dozen list from the Environmental Working Group's 2025 Shopper's Guide to Pesticides in Produce says 96% of samples of 12 non-organic fruits and vegetables had detectable levels of more than 200 different pesticides. The EWG 2025 Dirty Dozen list includes spinach, strawberries, kale, collards, mustard greens, grapes, peaches, cherries, nectarines, pears, apples, blackberries, blueberries, and potatoes. The health advocacy organization has compiled the report for nearly two decades by analyzing government food safety data. Police in Buffalo, New York, have a Brooklyn man in custody charged in the death of his girlfriend.
Authorities say 32-year-old John Rousseau walked into a Buffalo police station last week telling cops his girlfriend was dead at a house on New York Avenue in Midwood. The Daily News reports NYPD officers went to the home where they found 26-year-old Dana Jean dead with an apparent wound to the neck. The ME ruled the death a homicide but is still investigating the cause of death. Rousseau is charged with murder and weapons possession. I'm Larry Kofsky.
Health officials have issued warnings in the D.C. area about a traveler infected with measles who landed at Dulles International Airport and traveled throughout the area in the last week. The D.C. Health Department has listed on its website various locations the person visited. The international traveler landed at Dulles on June 8th. Virginia health officials say they are working to identify people who may be exposed that had contact with him on different flights. Health officials said that there have been multiple measles cases in the D.C. area within the last few weeks. How dirty are beards?
Research has shown that beards often do indeed host dense microbial populations bolstered by a moist place for them to thrive. It's been an issue in the healthcare field where there have been mixed results over how hygienic beards really are. Some early studies raise concerns that facial hair may be home to more harmful bacteria, but others have shown no difference between bearded and clean-shaven workers. If beards are cleaned regularly and well-maintained, it greatly reduces the chance for harmful bacteria to grow. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Over 460 employees at the CDC are getting their jobs back after being laid off. Lisa Carton has details.
The Department of Health and Human Services said reinstatement notices were sent out this week. HHS did not give details about the rehiring decisions. Officials have confirmed that around 200 of the reinstated workers were from the CDC's National Center for HIV, Viral Hepatitis, STD, and Tuberculosis Prevention. Another 150 workers were from the CDC's National Center for Environmental Health. I'm Lisa Carton.
WBSM Sports.
After the Red Sox beat the Yankees 2-0 yesterday, designated hitter Rafael Devers has been traded to the San Francisco Giants. Devers spent his entire 9-year career with the Sox and was the last player from Boston's 2018 World Series championship team.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Your forecast for this morning includes a blend of sun and clouds, winds light out of the southeast, and a high near 72. For tonight, we're expecting mostly cloudy skies, your low near 56. And for Tuesday, a mix of sun and clouds with a slight chance of a shower, your high near 74. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kelly Bates on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, welcome back in. It is a brand new week on the program, which means it's a brand new edition. Well, each day we have a brand new edition, anyway, of the Gen X Files, and it's time to dive into that right now.
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven. Let's start off with our birthdays. Laurie Metcalf, best known for playing Roseanne's sister Jackie on Roseanne and the Conners, is 69 today. John Cho, Harold from the Harold and Kumar films, is 52. And MC Ren of NWA is 55 today.
Come on, come on. I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself,
and Tupac Shakur was born on this date in 1971. He went on to become one of rap's most influential figures, as well as an accomplished actor, before he was shot to death in 1996 at the age of 25. His murder has still not been definitively solved. In 1903, the Pepsi Cola Company registered the Pepsi Cola trademark. It was originally called Brad's Drink, but it later took on the name Pepsi because it supposedly cured dyspepsia. Kids of the 1980s were later referred to as the Pepsi Generation in the cola's marketing campaigns. On June 16, 1965, on their second day of recording at Columbia Records Studio A in Manhattan, folk rock singer Bob Dylan, along with a band featuring electric guitars and an organ, laid down the master take of Like a Rolling Stone. It would prove to be Dylan's magnum opus and arguably one of the greatest rock and roll records of all time. On this date in 1989, Ghostbusters 2 hit movies theaters, one of the big tent pole films in what is arguably the biggest summer in movie history. Also hitting theaters that summer was Tim Burton's Batman, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Lethal Weapon 2, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and Karate Kid Part 3. And it was June 16th, 1990, when Roxette hit number one on the pop charts with It Must Have Been Love, the Swedish duo's third number one hit. Get this, though. Originally released in 1987 as a Christmas song, the lyrics were rewritten for inclusion in the 1990 film Pretty Woman, and when the movie became a smash hit, so did the song. That's the Gen X Files for June 16th, 2025, brought to you by McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream in Fairhaven, home of the Porch Sampler, where you can try up to six different flavors anytime. All right. Well, I love that segment, and I love all the little bits of trivia that I can find for you. I had no idea that It Must Have Been Love was originally a Christmas song. And if you go back and find the 1987 version, it's really different. It's definitely different. And I also found out something else, you know, as we were talking about Brian Wilson's passing last week. I was driving home last night from running some errands, and I was listening to The Lost 45s with Barry Scott, and he was talking about they were going to be playing the Beach Boys version of Seasons in the Sun. And I was like, well, I only know Seasons of the Sun as a Terry Jacks song. I didn't know the Beach Boys did it. They must have covered it after Terry Jacks did it, but it turns out no. I always thought Terry Jacks wrote that song, but no, it was a French singer-songwriter who created that song, and the original lyrics were much more morbid, even more morbid than the Terry Jacks version, and the Beach Boys came out with it, I think, about 5 years before Terry Jacks did, but it was their arrangement of the song that Terry Jacks covered. And then the Terry Jacks story was always interesting, too, because he kind of went away from the music industry, and there was somebody who was going around pretending to be Terry Jacks and getting bookings. It's amazing how often that happened back in the day, that people would pretend to be famous musicians that had kind of gone away off the scene, and people believed it. You could never get away with that in the age of the internet, but they did back then. All right, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Got to take a break here, and we'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. I think people that listen to this show know that not only am I a fan of Phil Collins, but I also like when they remaster music and make it sound that much better with modern equipment. I love the Dolby Atmos remasters of songs. I love, you know, the Apple lossless format. I mean, I like when I can hear every little bit of the music, things that I never heard before. And that being said, sometimes they can go a little bit too far. And so last night I was listening to, again, the radio, and I heard the remastered version of In the Air Tonight. Now, listen, I love Phil Collins, but a lot of the times when that song comes on, I might tune it out, like not pay full attention because I've heard it so many times, or even might even change the channel because it's just, I've heard it so often. It's so overplayed. I covered the Celtics during Kevin Garnett's era with the Celtics, and they played that song all the time because that was his favorite song. They played it at Patriots games when I was covering the Patriots. I might not pay full attention. But last night I heard it, and this remastered version had all these additional drums added into it that was just horrendous. Like, they ruined the song. And I know, I get it, it was Phil Collins that did it. He was the one that wanted to remaster it and add that all in. But, oh my God, was it bad. So I promise you I will never, never play that version. 508-996-0500. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You are next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
Oh, my God. You are so busy. Even your weekends, you're just running all around all over the place.
Well, I had to go drop my laundry off at Dash.
So you were dashing around.
I was.
So I went by Stevie's, and I got to 110 Grill yesterday, and Stevie's yesterday, and I'm glad you took what you was supposed to, because I said I better not find that. So that was good.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, this wine is really nice, Tim.
The Plymouth Bay?
Yeah, the Widow's Walk.
You got the Widow's Walk? Yeah.
Yeah, well, you picked that out for me.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, really, you can't go wrong with any of them. As long as you like the different fruits that they use, they're all good.
Yeah, well, didn't you? I got to see the other name. And then I had her, Kelly, she picked out, because I said to her, I'm not keen on Reslings, but that's a really good table wine, the Widow's Walk. So then she got me the Chardonnay Martin Ray. So I can't wait to see what that's like. But that's not Plymouth Bay, because I don't see its name on it.
No,
but
it's not.
The Widow's Walk is really good. Very good. And so I was glad. Hey, you know, I got to tell you, I can't believe, as long as I've lived here, Tim, I've never gone down to where the 110 Grill is. I've never been to that side of Fall River, ever. And I'm saying to myself, I got there within like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, super close. And never did I know there was that many stores.
Yeah, South Coast Marketplace is a happening spot.
Holy moly. And they got a big theater right next to the 110 Grill.
Mm-hmm.
a movie
picture,
thing.
Picture show.
Picture show, yes. And I'm like saying, what the hell? And not only did I know, I didn't even know the Twin River Casino, Bally's Casino, is right there. Literally right there. I said, I'm going to go see this. It's 3 minutes away from that marketplace. And it's so easy to get home. So now I know where, oh my God, I'm going to have to see what kind of shows are going on there. I didn't walk in. I just wanted to see how would you know how you would get in and drive and get out, exit. So that was really fun.
There's also a Great Savers a little bit down the road, too.
Oh, no, yeah. Savers? You mean the thrift shop or you mean the food shop?
No, the thrift shop.
Oh.
I go there all the time.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's the one you're always talking about when you go to Fall River.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God, really nice. I'm excited. I'm like, God, I'll probably be going there a lot. And they had a Raising Cane. I saw that. I don't like that name for a restaurant. I don't like that name for anything, actually.
Well, the chicken's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, it's just all right. So I got to pick that up. So then afterwards, I went to, from there, I went to Stevie's, got myself. Then I went to the station. I was hoping somebody would be there so I could have dropped off, you know, that thing that I went and got.
What, yesterday? No, nobody would have been here yesterday.
Nobody's there at all. I didn't know if somebody just hung around in case something does. What, do they keep everything on a loop on Sunday?
Yeah, everything's syndicated on Sunday.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to try to get there later today and drop it off, but it probably won't be late day or even maybe tomorrow I'll have a better chance. But I'm going to try later today. I just got a couple of things I got to do, and my brother might get surgery this morning, so...
Well, we're keeping him in our thoughts for sure.
Yeah, so I'm going to be staying tight till about 11 here. But yeah, so I'll be able to drop that off. And that's about it. I'm just so grateful that, you picked that for me because now I have, that's really good. I'm telling you, it's the best wine I've had probably my whole life.
And do you like cranberry?
I love cranberry.
So the next one you should try is Cranberry Blush if you like the white wines.
My gosh. Yes, I will.
Cranberry
definitely.
Blush.
All right, I'll let you go.
All right, you have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, I got to get a break in here before the end of the hour. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to be going into the news. When we come back on the other side, we will have New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo here for the next hour. He will take your phone calls at 508- 508-